I'm sure you have your copies with you, but it will help us more if we just probably focus, just pay attention to the delivery of the homily, and maybe later on just go through that on your own for more reflection, more insights as the Spirit leads you. The theme of today's reflection is the law of the Lord is perfect. It gives wisdom to the obedient heart. You can also see it from another perspective, which is the theme here being the new standards of goodness for Jesus' disciples. Today's gospel reading forms part of the Sermon on the Mount. This beautiful passage illustrates Jesus' attitude to the law, showing the wisdom of God encapsulated in it as he explains how it is to be obeyed or observed. This has a reference to the first reading taken from the book of Sirach. Sirach points out that obedience to God's law leads to life, and rejection of that law is the path to death. Jesus, like Sirach, presents the right spirit that must accompany our observance of the law in order that we might find life and subsequently have it to the fullest. But if we follow it superficially, just the letter to the letters of the law, we might be treading the path of destruction like the Pharisees and Sadducees of his time. Because the word of God is spirit, and the word of God is God. It's God himself. So the spirit is actually very, very a necessary partner or one to lead us into the depth of God, the depth of God. We even heard that in the second reading of today. It leads us into the depth of God. We need the Spirit of God. Even when we read the Bible, we should pray and ask the Spirit of God to assist us, to understand the depth of it. Therefore, Jesus does not dispense with the law, but asks for a deeper observance of it. Jesus' justice far surpasses the legalistic approach of the scribes and Pharisees. For the Pharisees and the scribes, the letter of the law was everything. This justice is made explicit in six concrete examples. These deal with murder, adultery, divorce, oath and vows, retaliation, and hatred of enemies. The first four are dealt with in today's gospel, while the other two are contained in next week Sunday's gospel. Jesus reinterprets the fifth commandment, "You shall not kill," so that it embraces those angry feelings and emotions that may lead up to murder. And he reinterprets the sixth commandment, "You shall not commit adultery," so that it embraces lustful thoughts and desires that may lead to sexual sin and infidelity. And as for oath, Jesus encourages his disciples to behave in such a way that oaths are superfluous. The disciples of all times are simply to be truthful. It is either you say yes or you say no, depending on the context. From the foregoing, Jesus proposed new standards of goodness for his disciples. Like the whole Sermon on the Mount, this passage that we heard today describes a conversion experience, hence the phrase, going deeper. If your righteousness does not go deeper than that of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because those people were looked upon at that time as model of holiness, which they arrogated to themselves, than the virtue of the scribes and Pharisees. Here, we are encouraged to retrace our spiritual journey. Remember, I told you at the beginning how we are to be open to the Spirit lead. You know, every time God seizes an opportunity to draw us closer to himself, to lead us from one level to the other, and as often as we are open to that Spirit lead, he leads us deeper into new path, new vision, new insight, a better understanding of him and of ourselves, and not just only of ourselves, but our circumstances, our families, whatever we're involved in. So that is the ongoing conversion we're talking about here. So to not just to a particular single focus. You see, when we try to look at our relationship with God and what is expected of us, probably from a particular perspective of righteousness. But holiness is holistic. It has to be holistic. It has to permeate everything about you and everything that is connected to you or you are connected to. And so the rest of the passage celebrates the kinds of implications we become aware of when we experience radical conversion. When that is the case, our spiritual journey will affect our commitment not only to Jesus, not only to the church, but also to our families, our neighborhoods, as well as our commitments to any social or political movement we may be involved in. There is a statement by Pope John Paul II citing the implications that would occur in the church's conversion in its pro-life stance, pro-life, those who are against abortion. But it does not really end there if you say you are pro-life. If you are pro-life, it does not end there. It has to be holistic. And here, Pope John Paul II gives us instances of the wholeness of the implication of that particular stance or that particular perspective that you have chosen. And so he says here, and I quote, "To choose life involves rejecting every form of violence, the violence of poverty and hunger, the violence of armed conflict, the violence of criminal trafficking in drugs and arms, the violence of mindless damage to the natural environment," end of quote. In an attempt to stress further this deep-rooted Christian spirituality, which is holistic in nature, as opposed to the superficial and legalistic approach to the commandments, I have singled out the fifth commandment for brief reflection, especially when Jesus talked about, "Do not be angry with your brother." Jesus explained this law further by reminding us to look deeper at the disposition we display towards others. Anger that is unresolved leaves us liable for judgment. In truth, it is impossible to live without getting angry at one time or another. We may have been taught that anger is sinful and that it is one of the seven deadly sins. As a result, we feel guilty about getting angry and are tempted to deny it or repress it. I am an example of this particular aspect. You know, there was this particular day back in my country, we were at a meeting and I got angry. And then one of the participants said, "Oh, Father, you are angry." And I said, "No, I'm just simply upset." You know, that's a very nice way of being in denial of being angry. A very nice way to say it. The first thing that needs to be said is that anger is normal and even healthy. If we love and value ourselves, we will naturally get angry if we are treated badly. Anger is just a feeling. In itself, it's neither good nor bad morally. We should not repress our anger. Psychologists tell us that repressed anger is very dangerous and can result in self-hatred, depression, and even bodily ills such as asthma and ulcers. However, anger is no resting place. Anger can be very damaging if allowed to fester. Anger in the heart is like a worm in a plant. Anger needs to be released, but this must be done in a wholesome way. When Jesus says to us, "Do not get angry with your brother," he is not condemning anger in itself. After all, he himself got angry when he drove the traders out of the temple. Anger need not give rise to a lessening of love, much less to hate. It is when anger turns into hostility that it becomes dangerous. Hostility, rather than anger, is the real deadly sin. It causes us to act out our anger and leads to deep resentments, negative attitudes, insults, and the list goes on. All of that are directed at the object of our anger. There is an old saying that the size of a person's soul can be measured by the size of the things that make him or her angry. If our heart is filled with anger, there is no room in it for love. Therefore, we should do well to listen to the advice of St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, and I quote, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Otherwise, do not, in other words, don't prolong it. Otherwise, the devil will begin to work on you. Devil will begin to work on you negatively or cause damages." So I urge you to call to mind an unresolved animosity that you hold against a brother or a sister. Ask God for grace to forgive them from your heart so that you may fully participate in the mystical and miraculous liturgy of the Most Holy Eucharist, which we call the Holy Mass.